Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. Is Jean Lafitte?
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last Crunch Berry.
No!
No one steals my Crunch Berries.
I think you mean my Crunch Berries. Choose your own Crunch Venture with Cap'n Crunch.
I know how to run a hair salon, but for small business insurance, I chose my State Farm agent. She's a small business owner, too, so she knew how to help me personalize my policies. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
MSPs constantly talk about being an outsourced CTO. So I went and talked with one. Joel Beasley, host of The Modern CTO, who's been one himself, talks about what being a CTO is, and he might not be sure MSPs can do it. This is a bonus episode of The Business of Tech. Well, Joel, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Dave.
Joel, I really wanted to have you on this show because in my world of IT services and MSPs, we talk a lot about the CTO role, the CIO role as a virtual thing. It can be outsourced. It can be done in a collaborative way. But to give listeners a background, you've been a CEO several times. Tell me a little bit about your journey and what that looked like.
Yeah. So I started programming young, built software for 15 plus years, then in the process of that, built and sold three different companies. And then, you know, the first three, I was the CTO. I was the main product person, and I had a sales leader business partner. And then this company, which has been going on for about 5 years, I solo founded it. So I had to learn how to do that sales role in that CEO role by itself, you know, along with some product stuff. And then I started the podcast, and the podcast got popular with the book and all of that. And then where I'm at today is I've interviewed over 500 CTOs, from the creator of the internet to NASA, Microsoft, Verizon, basically bringing them on and asking them about how, you know, what they're working on, how they've advanced in their career, and how they build product and all of these types of topics. So that's like the essence of Joel in a very brief statement.
Cool. So you're living and breathing that CTO world, both being it and, of course, now talking to them. Let's baseline this then. Define in your mind what you think a CTO does. What's their role and responsibility in an org?
Great. So I'm going to go off of like I'll explain a couple different things. So there are several different types of CTOs. I'd say there's maybe about five of them, but we'll focus on sort of like the high level here of the different types of CTOs. There's CTOs that are focused on product and mostly like internal. And then there are product and external, mostly external facing. And then they often see the CIO as building internal systems. So if I had to say that there was 60% of the industry thought this way, that would be a pretty stable trend. But there's, of course, huge amounts of exceptions, but in general, the CTO is focused on outward facing technology and the CIO is focused on inward facing technology for the company to run.
That is a great way of looking at it. So with a division of labor. So you know, the way I would also think about that is the sort of the CIO's sort of internal ops versus the CTO thinking about the way the technology impacts top line revenue, right? Is that a good, like if I broke it down on a P&L, CTO is focused on the revenue top portion, CIO loosely on the SG&A portion.
It's tough, and I'll tell you why it's tough. Okay. There's the CTO maturity model, which shows the growth stages of a company and the different responsibilities as they change throughout the maturity of the organization. And so when people ask me, when I do talks and things like that out in public, people will ask me, hey, what's the roles and responsibilities of a CTO? And almost inevitably, I dig deeper into that. And what they're really saying is I'm battling someone over this specific responsibility. I'm saying it's mine or it's not mine. And I want you because, you know, you talk to all these CTOs, sort of tell me I'm right or tell me I'm wrong. So to back up from that, the way I've, you know, thought about it over the past couple of years and the answer to give when people say, you know, what's a CTO? I say it's the person at the company who is an executive who is responsible for technology. And the role and responsibilities are going to change based off of the company. For example, if you're a marketing agency that just, you know, has customers and maybe one small product, it's going to look different than if you're the CTO of a Fortune 500 or a CTO of a startup with like two employees. So it's going to look very, very different. But the thing that connects them all is that they're in a leadership position responsible for an aspect of technology at the company. So CIO as well and CTO both fit under that umbrella.
All right. So my hidden reason for asking why around the responsibilities is because for many of my audience, they are the outsourced technology provider to a typically small company that does not have internal technology capabilities. So the typical might be like a law firm or a doctor's office or a small manufacturer, a small retail organization. And they oftentimes position themselves as that virtual version of that job. That was the angle that I'm coming at because I would think that, well, if we could define the list, is that outsourceable? What's your take then on the virtualizing of that role for companies that theoretically wouldn't have technology as a core competency?
So my parents owned a real estate company when I was a kid growing up, and they had an MSP. I know lots of people that are smart, like lawyers and things like that. They'll have MSPs. Another one of my friends I was having a cookout with yesterday, he was telling me about his experience with the MSP and how they don't answer phones anymore. It's just support tickets, and he hates that. But I don't know if that's a trend in the industry or not, but customer feedback, he doesn't like it.
That's a great area to go on. How would you view the capabilities of these outsourced companies being able to deliver on that CTO role?
Well, I think it's kind of, and so, I think it's crazy. I think it's crazy in my world because I'm heavily product driven. So I'm mostly SaaS type software companies where the CTO is, you know, making sure that the product team is correct and it's headed in the right direction and things like that. At a you know, 10 office real estate company, maybe, but I just find it weird. Like there's definitely the position of the market or the portion of the market that are interim CTOs. So you see those a lot when VC companies maybe come in and the CTO left and they need an interim CTO, or somebody's going through some scaling or transition of a team and you'll need an interim CTO. There's several reasons why you would need an interim CTO. And that's a whole market of these freelancer CTOs that'll typically pick up like 3 to 5 gigs at once, and they're fractional and they help, you know, that company through whatever experience they're having. And then there's the full-time CTOs, which are most often focused on building product for a company or solving, and it can be external product or internal product. So they could be solving problems for the company with a team, like just internal problems as well. So in my world, that's what it is. So when I heard in the prep for the show when I heard that like their MSPs are actively marketing as like replacements for CTOs. My first thought was that's crazy. My second thought was there's clearly a part of the market that I don't understand, but it makes sense. Like I could see how you could market that to like real estate or professional services, because you know, the lawyer with three offices isn't going to have a CTO, and he doesn't really have a need for a CTO, but he still has a network. He still has things that need uptime. He still needs a place to file tickets and have things resolved or credentialing or whatever it is. In my mind, I guess those are sub responsibilities of a CIO or CTO. I could definitely imagine a CTO that like takes the all those responsibilities and sort of finds like an MSP and has them manage that set of their task as a alternative to hiring a team internally to do it. Cause I'm assuming your costs are going to be lower based on the number of tasks you have. There's some cost benefit there. I could definitely see that happening, but I guess the part that turns me the other way is, thinking that these MSPs, could provide the leadership equivalent of what a great CTO could do, without, you know, being a fractional CTO. I don't know if are they selling fractional CTO services?
Well, so in theory, that's the idea, right? So the idea is that they're positioning as, we are a fractional CTO because for exactly the reasons you've described, these typical companies can't do it internally. They don't have the need to hire a full time. So it becomes part of the MSP services is, we'll do it for you fractionally. Thus you get that role. But well, I actually think it's really interesting to dig into your reaction of why you think it's crazy. Now, I want to carve out a small little space saying we're not talking about a purely technology company where it's very clear that would be an internal role. So like you just described, like a typical SaaS product company. Yeah, you can't outsource that. It's a core competency. But your example of like a real estate, you know, for a lawyer with a few offices, like, okay, we can clearly see that. What's your reaction to why it's crazy? Let's dig into the why of that, because I think that's actually the useful meat. Like, what problem do they have to solve that you don't think they can solve?
Well, I don't know a lot about the services, and I don't know a lot about the people that are actually providing the services. They could have very qualified fractional CTOs as part of their team, and then they could be just sort of the brand selling those services and then having the fractional CTO come in, right? The knee-jerk reaction, and by the way, I'm very passionate, so I have strong views, but they're loosely held. Give me new information, I change pretty easily. But
okay.
Yeah.
Totally fair. And I appreciate that approach.
Yeah. So it just was weird for me because it is such a full-time job and it is so nuanced to do it well. It's not the MSPs themselves. I see those as like an extension of your team. For example, we make podcasts for other companies and we act definitely less like a vendor and more like an extension of the team. That being said, we're not in their executive team meetings, like actually working with the CEO in their normal routine meetings. It's they meet with us when we're talking about, you know, building their podcast or whatever it is. So the reason why it's a reaction is it's such a full-time job and you have to be so deeply into it that unless if they're outsourcing or having this partner be essentially full-time, then I don't see how that would work at in the context of most of the companies that I interact with. In the context of the real estate and the lawyer stuff, that makes sense. I mean, I think it might sound cool for the lawyer to say, I have a CTO and it's an outsourced service like that. I could see that, but it's just, I'm too deep into it.
Well, I think that's the useful exploration. So let me dive a little further into your fractional CTO. So talk to me about what you think a really good fractional CTO would look like. Like, what are they bringing to the table?
Yeah. So typically they're older. They're typically, you know, 40s plus, because they'll have meaningful experience across a variety of companies. And you'll see often that they either work with venture capital firms or they work with companies who were VC backed, or they are, a part of a, I would say if I'm looking for one, I would look for one that had experience playing that role in the industry I'm in, because industry knowledge is such an advantage. So like, I was in real estate software for a long time. So if I was going to have, if I was going to like buy a company and I needed an interim CTO, I would look for one that has been in the real estate software world for a little bit. And you'll see once they get to like in their 40s and that point in their career, they can pick up, you know, with their experience level, they can pick up 3 to 5 clients and help them on sort of like a quasi project basis. Like, we're going to achieve this goal for you. Often it's putting the right people in place or helping through some sort of transition. So that's what the fractional role sort of looks like in my mind. And that would, finding someone with industry experience would be what would make a really good fit.
So it's interesting to me, and I'll sort of tell you that in, as we discuss this, what you've just described is in fact the way that most of the really good providers that I talk to position their services. So for example, they've got deep industry experience because they've served 30 or 40 dentists' offices, right? So they understand the dental technology, and they've rolled out these projects a bunch of different times. And so they can work with a dentist and say, yeah, we get all of these challenges. We've done it a whole bunch. I can do your whole stack. I can do the analysis, understand what you need, help you select a product, roll it all out, do that. Oh, and by the way, my MSP can then manage it ongoing. So it's interesting to hear the difference between your reaction, which is sort of pushback, but then when you describe it, it's like, well, that's exactly what they're positioning as services.
Yeah, that's a marketing problem.
Well, and this is a space that's not known for being particularly good at marketing. But I think the one bit that I wanted to highlight there is the actual experience of doing it. You've just described that, you know, this is a role of person with experience. I don't necessarily want to link it purely to age. I want to link it to experience, saying this is something that they've learned, mastered, and have actual experience in doing it on a repeatable basis. How are you measuring then sort of CTO experience? Is it just numbers of projects, or is it depth in an industry? Is it all of the above? How do you measure that?
How do you measure the CTO's experience? I'd say
in your mind. Yeah.
Yeah. So Eric Weiss is a fantastic person. He's a CTO coach, and he's the one that created the CTO maturity model. And I heard him give a talk once, and I said, you're going to be my best friend. And I was like, can I put that maturity model in my book and give you credit? And it's like, we became friends through that interaction. But I would say your experience traversing the CTO maturity model would be something that is a way to sort of rate experience. How many times have you been at level one, or how many times have you been at level four? And all of that would be compared to whatever the company needs, right?
Mm-hmm. All right. You've mentioned it. Tell me a little bit more about, for those that aren't familiar, about the CTO maturity model.
Yeah. So like I said, I just heard Eric give it. Everyone, there was a big industry thing where we were all trying to figure out how do you classify what a CTO needs to know, because it's so vastly changing. Do you use headcount? No, because that doesn't work super well. Do you use revenue? No, because you can have super high revenue and super low headcount. So how do you, you know, sort of map this out? And no one had done a good job of it. And it had been a question we had talked about and thought about a lot on the show over the years. And then when I saw him give this, it's a like a graphic representation of the different levels that of the maturity of the company and the maturity of the CTO as it progresses. So for example, you know, you're thinking when you're at 100 people going to 150 people, you're thinking about things differently than when you're building your first product and it's just you and a buddy or something like that.
Tell the listeners here a little bit about what you put in the book and what you're working on and offering out that way.
Oh yeah. So we're working on a new book. Basically, I did the first, when I started the podcast, I had written a book, and that was kind of how the podcast got started, because I was sending copies out and I was having phone calls with people about the content in the book to make sure I was, you know, checking against my peers, and the conversations were really fun. I didn't want them to end. So we said, hey, let's do a podcast and we can just keep this going. So that was about 5 years ago. And that book is called Modern CTO, the same as the podcast name. And then now we are just putting, it's an editing and we're touching it up and going into formatting soon. So probably at the end of this year, we're having a new book come out that's, hey, we interviewed 500 CTOs and this is what we learned. And this is, you know, what makes a great CTO. And it's several like lessons and habits and patterns of these great technology leaders that we've seen, you know, over the course of all the interviews.
Well, you're talking to a ton of CTOs on a constant basis. What are you finding is sort of the top concern right now? It's top of mind for all of these people.
Hiring. Hiring's a huge one. Culture is another big one. Good culture makes hiring easier. But yeah, that's the right now it's in a, we're in an interesting market because of the talent and the, there's obviously a shortage of it and that's causing inflation and salaries and things like that. So that is a conversation that comes up a lot.
At least for listeners on the show, they'll know that that's reassuring because that's the same problem that is happening in IT services and managed services. Hiring is a big issue. Well, Joel, how can people find out more if they want to learn more and connect and find you in all your different ways?
Yeah, so we'll put links in the show notes, but you can type in Joel Beasley or Modern CTO and Google search, and then you'll be able to find us really quickly. So that's how you do it.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Remember, if you like this kind of content, you can support it directly. Visit patreon.com/MSP Radio for our Give What You Want program. Every little bit helps, and we are supported directly by listeners like you. The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel, under ethics guidelines posted at businessof.tech. Like the content? Support the show at patreon.com/MSP Radio. Or buy our Why Do We Care merch at businessof.tech. If you want to reach our listeners, visit mspradio.com/engage.
Part of the MSP Radio Network.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Selling smoothies is what I do, but for small business insurance, I chose my State Farm agent. He's a small business owner, too, so he knew how to help me personalize my policies. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.